High-performance computing is now central to the federal government and industry, as evidenced by the shift from single-core and multi-core, or homogeneous central processing units, also known as CPUs, to many core and heterogeneous systems that also include other types of processors like graphics processing units, also known as GPUs. Researchers at the SEI's Emerging Technology Center are working to create a software library for graph analytics that would take advantage of these more powerful heterogeneous supercomputers to perform graph analytics at larger scales and more quickly, while making them simpler to program. They are more complex and thus more difficult to program. These algorithms are used in the DoD mission applications, including intelligence analysis, knowledge representation and reasoning in autonomous systems, cyber intelligence and security, routing planning, and logistics optimization. Welcome to the SEI podcast series, a production of the Carnegie Mellon Software Engineering Institute. The SEI is a federally funded research and development center sponsored by the U.S. Department of Defense and operated by Carnegie Mellon University. A transcript of today's podcast is posted on the SEI website at sei.cmu.edu/podcasts. My name is Suzanne Miller. I'm a principal researcher here at the SEI. Today, I am pleased to introduce you to Eric Werner, who has spoken with us before, and Scott McMillan, both of the SEI's Emerging Technology Center. Before we delve into their research, let me first tell you a bit about our guests. Scott McMillan joined the SEI Emerging Technology Center in May 2013 as a senior software developer, bringing with him more than 20 years of experience in high-performance computing across a wide range of application areas, including scientific computing, 2D, 3D geographic information systems, and very large-scale database systems. Scott comes to us from Raytheon, where he contributed to a wide range of projects from cybersecurity, wireless communications, embedded systems, and Windows device driver research. Prior to that, he worked at General Dynamics Advanced Information Systems, where he led the design and development of database systems. Eric Werner is the Technical Director and Chief Architect for the SEI Emerging Technology Center at Carnegie Mellon University, where he sets the technical direction of the center in the areas of software development, high-performance computing, cloud computing, and data analytics. Werner has more than 15 years of professional software development experience, primarily focused on delivering global, mission-critical software systems. Prior to joining the SEI, he was the lead architect and systems engineer for the United States Army's Command and Control System with General Dynamics C4 Systems. Welcome to you both.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Absolutely. So there's a lot of different aspects to the graph analytics work that we're going to talk about. Let's begin by having you talk about graph analytics and the role of graph analytics in high-performance computing.
Great. Graphs are a fundamental data structure in mathematics and computer science. They're used to represent all sorts of problems, as you said in the introduction, from logistics planning, intelligence analysis, social network analysis, etc. They're different from your kind of standard high-performance computing because they have certain properties that make them hard to compute. They're hard to parallelize. And I think Scott can tell us a little bit about why.
Sure. In traditional scientific applications, memory accesses are pretty regular. Computer systems are designed to optimize that kind of access. Mm-hmm. In graph systems described by graphs, generally those connections aren't so regular. So when you're computing analytics on a graph, you want to traverse from node to node. It's unpredictable where you're going to go next in the graph.
And so parts of the graph may not get very much access, and other parts of the graph may get a lot of intense access, depending on the problem you're trying to solve.
That's
very irregular.
Right. That's one access or one aspect of it. But it's more like if I'm at a node, the computer can't predict where I'm going to go next.
Sure.
It's not the next location in memory. It could be
sequential.
Yeah, it's not sequential. It could go anywhere in the memory system. So it's very hard for a computer system to optimize access like that.
Okay.
So, again, in the scientific community, you have benchmarks like the top 500 that measure the performance of scientific codes. They measure that performance in what's called FLOPS. That's mm-hmm. floating point operations per second. In the graph community, the benchmark is the graph 500. And so they measure performance in TEPS, which is traversed edges per second.
Okay.
So going from one node to another in that data structure is one edge traversed.
Okay. So this means that parallel computing gives some advantage because you've got multiple ways of accessing memory at any one time. You've got multiple addresses, essentially, that you can access. So when you make that decision to traverse, you've got more options and more performance available to you than when you're in a single processing system, correct?
That's one part of it. In a supercomputer, you generally have lots of compute nodes, each with a dedicated memory bank.
Mm-hmm.
The graph analytics problem comes down to dividing the data across these nodes. It doesn't prevent traversal from one node to the next. So there's a lot of work done in graph analytics to organize what data is where, to minimize not only traversal to other parts of the computer, but making sure that traversal ends up being in sequential memory locations as much as possible.
To improve the efficiency and some of the predictability.
Of the existing general purpose memory architectures.
Okay. All right. So in late 2013, leading researchers in the graph analytics community released a position paper calling for an open effort known as GraphBLAS, and BLAS in the scientific community is basic linear algebra subprogram. So trying
That's
to
right.
do something similar for the graph community that has already been done in the scientific community, and that is to define a standard for graph algorithms in terms of linear algebraic equations. Tell us a little bit about this position paper and how it figures into the SEI's ongoing research into graph analytics.
So in the scientific computing community for over 30 years, basically, the community has fallen in on a standard set of APIs and a standard interface to doing certain kinds of computations, and that's BLAS, the basic linear algebra subprograms. What this is effectively matrix algebra. And so what this does is it creates a line of separation between the application programmers and the people who are implementing the matrix math on either standard CPUs or other kinds of special purpose hardware. So it really creates an abstraction layer where application programmers can think about their application stuff, and the implementers of the high-performance computing can target it to their hardware architecture.
Okay.
The graph analytics community realized that this might be applicable to their space as well. And since graphs can also be represented as matrices, and operations on graphs can be translated into operations on matrices, the idea is, can we do a similar thing for graph analytics?
So where are you with this?
So this came out in the middle of the research. We are collaborating with one of those leading researchers, Andrew Lumsdaine at Indiana University.
Okay.
So we decided to tackle the problem, evaluate whether or not GraphBLAS can do what we want it to do.
Okay.
So we have a set or a list of 10 analytics that we'd like to try and do on graphs.
So they're like your model problems that you're applying ideas to.
The basic one is breadth first search. So can you traverse through the graph and find all the shortest paths from one node to everything else? It goes on to more complicated things called community detection, something pretty standard. And, you know, there's 30 years of expertise in fine-tuning basic linear algebra subprograms for the regular access that's found in scientific communities.
So how is this standards effort affecting your research, or how has it affected your research?
After this position paper, we pivoted our research. So what we were doing initially is we were creating a graph analytic library. We were creating a software library, and we were kind of doing it as we could implement it on GPUs. What happened was, in the middle of this research, all of these people in the graph analytics community said, hey, all of you different people are doing this in different ways. Some of you are doing it in an object-oriented type of way. Some of you are doing it in a traversal kind of way. Some of you are doing it in a matrix algebra kind of way. The scientific community has had great success in implementing this in terms of matrix algebra.
Right.
Why don't we all fall in on this way of doing it? That way the hardware people can implement and optimize the matrix algebra libraries, and the software people can implement their graph analytics. And so we actually pivoted our research and said, hey, this is a great idea, let's do that. And since we are partners with Andrew Lumsdaine of Indiana University, it made great sense to do it.
Okay.
And then there's a separation of concerns.
So most of the 19 leading researchers on that position paper are focusing on general purpose CPU architectures, so regular memory architectures. But at most of the government labs and the large supercomputing facilities, there's a shift from general CPU architectures to all these different kinds of accelerators.
Okay.
So you've heard of the large Cray systems that have GPUs as coprocessors.
Mm-hmm.
There's also the Xeon Phi that's come out. this separation of concerns between the application and analytics developer and the underlying hardware becomes even more important when you're talking about these vastly different memory architectures and even computing architectures. Okay. We're focusing our evaluation of GraphBLAS on GPU architectures. So what does it take when you have an algorithm or an analytic implemented in GraphBLAS? What does it take underneath the line of separation to organize the data in a way that a GPU can use?
Right.
And GPUs are even more sensitive to poor memory layout of data. So there's more focus on what it takes to actually get the data organized so that GPU can do it efficiently. And there's a trade-off there. The more work you do to organize the data, the more time it takes.
Right.
But the analytic finally takes shorter. Or do you...
So you're really trying to do feasibility analysis for different strategies associated with memory layout and other aspects of memory access so
yes.
that you can help this community understand what are the options and what are some of the solutions that might be better to try than others, because you found out through this feasibility analysis that some things don't work so well.
That's right.
Okay,
and,
cool.
And as we like to do, the feasibility analysis is done through hands-on prototyping and
right.
Technology demonstrations.
Yeah,
so,
excellent.
So there's another aspect to that problem, and there's an existence analysis that goes along with it. We come in with our stakeholders' needs. We have 10 or so analytics that we want to do. We're trying to find out if you can implement them easily in
right.
terms of the BLAS interface.
Is the standard really going to work?
Right.
Yeah.
So we're doing an analysis of okay. the appropriateness of GraphBLAS.
Excellent. Well, that's one of the things we do here at the SEI is help the community understand their options. So, okay, so where are you with this research? What do you have coming up next? You're involved, and you said you've started with the one analytic, the traversal. Have you progressed with the other 10, or are you in the middle of that? Where are you?
All right, so we're collaborating with Indiana University, Andrew Lumsdaine's group at the Center for Research in Exascale Technology. So they have a large supercomputer with GPU nodes on it. We have a few of the newer generation GPUs here in our cluster. We've actually split the work, and here at the SEI, we're doing a top-down approach.
Mm-hmm.
So we're looking at the feasibility or the existence of analytics implemented in terms of GraphBLAS, and we've
okay.
started by prototyping these things in Python.
Okay.
At the same time, Andrew Lumsdaine's group is looking at the low-level, just bare-bones performance of primitives that would implement below the separation
right.
concerns
okay.
on GPUs.
Okay.
We've implemented in Python all 10 algorithms to greater or lesser extent in terms of GraphBLAS
mm-hmm.
functions, GraphBLAS functions. And we are using Python's CUDA interface, which is the GPU programming language,
okay.
to then transition those high-level implementations into kind of basic implementation on GPUs. From there, we're going to try and meet in the middle with Indiana University and see what needs to be done to that CUDA interface.
Sounds like that's going to be a fun meeting.
That happens in June.
Excellent.
We also intend to release the Graph Analytics Library as open source software to the public.
Oh, excellent. That has its own challenges.
That too.
All right. So once you get done with this feasibility analysis, what do you see as coming next for this kind of work? And you've released the open source library that you're talking about. What do you think comes next?
I'll start.
Okay, you start.
So this was we're in the third year of a three-year research project on doing graph analytics on GPUs. This is the final year of the graph analytics on GPUs research, and we're going to release that open source library. In terms of the research we're going to do in this area, it's going to be more focused on applications in terms of data analytics, big data analysis,
mm-hmm.
And measuring and benchmarking big data analysis.
Okay. Anything to add, Scott?
No, I think you covered it.
Excellent. So I want to thank both of you for joining us today. And for those who want a deeper dive into this work, we welcome you to visit the SEI Library, where you can download a copy of their technical note on this topic. Just go to resources.sei.cmu.edu, and in the keyword field, type the name of their report, which is Patterns and Practices for Future Architectures. or you can search on the author function. Eric also co-authored a blog post on this research. Please visit blog.sei.cmu.edu and search on Eric Warner in the author field. This podcast is available on the SEI website at sei.cmu.edu/podcast and on Carnegie Mellon University's iTunes U site. As always, if you have any questions, please don't hesitate to email us at info@sei.cmu.edu. Thank you for listening.